31. The first pain, the one in his head, dragged Eli back to consciousness. He tried to lift his chin, and the pain in his neck and shoulders made him aware of his body. He tried to take a breath, and a constricting pain tightened around his chest.
I think he's awake.
Someone poked him twice in the breastbone. Thick fingers grabbed his chin and wrenched his head, left and right. He tried to slap the hands away, but his own hands... Coarse rope held his hands up over his head and pressed them tight together. He tugged and felt it bite at his wrists. The muscles of his arms ached. He flexed his ankles and found nothing beneath his feet. He stretched his toes down, still nothing. But now his body rocked with the movement. Eli opened his eyes, blinked away the last dark cobwebs, and looked around. A fire pit burned at the center of the room. It and two lanterns threw flickering shadows in every direction. Patches of straw covered the dirt floor, which sat a good 6 inches farther away than he was used to seeing floors. A few posts of bare wood broke up the space and stretched up into the exposed rafters. The closest post, or would it be a beam, had a pair of black iron horseshoes nailed to it, the prongs pointed up into the darkness. A coil of rope hung alongside the horseshoes, either on a hook or a bent nail. He looked around, tried to spot a door, but the space was just big enough that the flickering firelight couldn't reach to illuminate the walls.
Finally, muttered a familiar voice. Was starting to think you'd need a goddamned bucket of water thrown in your face.
A strong hand settled on Eli's shoulder and pushed. He glanced back, caught a glimpse of fire-red hair, and felt a taut rope bounce against the back of his skull. It hit a tender spot, and electric pain flared behind his eyes. Svetlana shoved him, turned him more. Truss sat on a crate. A blanket had been spread beneath him so his expensive clothes didn't touch the bare wood. He peered at Eli over his square glasses.
You've probably got a few things you want to spit out. Might as well get that over with.
What the hell is this? What do you think you're doing?
A chill ran through Eli's arms. He didn't know where his coat had gone.
What the hell do you want from me?
Truss examined his fingernails. Eli kicked and pulled and swung back and forth. He thrashed and felt the cord under his arms cut and bite at the soft skin there. The coarse rope scraped his wrists raw and plucked at the hairs on the back of his head. It hit the lump where he'd been knocked out and sparks flashed behind his eyelids again. Exhaustion waited for an opening, lunged in, and dragged his legs back down. He took a few deep breaths and struggled against the double loop of rope over his chest. He tried to slump and his shoulders and neck and wrists ached. Truss yawned.
You're thinking of me as some sort of criminal, Teak, am I right? I'm sure Pritchard and her...
Teague.
The old man raised a shaggy brow.
My name isn't Teak. It's Teague.
Truss glanced at Svetlana. The big woman gave a single nod. He shrugged.
Still got some backbone,
he said.
That's good.
Eli glared at him.
I'm sure Pritchard and her friends have filled your head with all sorts of stories, but you know me. You've known me for 5 years.
Svetlana held up both hands, 6 fingers.
6 years. I think you know me better than they do. You've worked for me. You know I'm a businessman. I don't have anything personal against you or them.
That'd sound a lot better if I wasn't strung up in a barn.
The old man's face split in a grin.
Truth be told, it isn't personal. I don't care about any of you, not in the slightest. Your assets to be used and discarded. Assuming you're even worth the effort of discarding.
Eli glared at the old man. His wrists ached. Something trickled from his armpits that could have been sweat or blood. Maybe both.
And I know you, too,
said Truss.
At least, I know your type.
A minute ago, Eli muttered, you didn't even know my name.
The old man's too white grin widened.
You ended up on the road by accident, didn't you? lured into a car by Pritchard's charms? Or did you just see something you shouldn't have?
He pointed a bony finger at Eli.
You don't want to be on the road. I've seen it dozens of times. You just want to go home to your nice, safe, normal life. And I can make that happen. One question, Mr. Teague. Answer it honestly. This is your only chance to walk out of here. Your last chance to get the carrot. Lie to me, try to string me along, and it won't go well for you. Understand?
Eli nodded. The movement made his head throb again. Memories of Sanders, his mother, his friends, his life. They all flitted across his mind. Regular meals, regular showers, a real bed. He imagined going home with even a fraction of the money Truss had promised them in New Orleans, and all the things he could do with it. Truss adjusted his glasses on his nose.
So? Even if I knew anything,
Eli grunted,
I wouldn't tell you.
The old man shook his head and sighed.
Fine, then.
Something scraped in the dirt behind him. He heard a short, muffled screech, then a longer one. The dragging sounds stopped for a moment, then came closer to Eli. He twisted his head around and set his body swaying again. Svetlana came into sight and grunted. Her broad shoulders flexed and she pulled her burden alongside Eli. Another heave brought it between Eli and Truss. She made a final small adjustment and then walked off behind Eli again. Two wide planks made up the top of the workbench. Cuts and gouges and small holes covered the surface. The legs looked the same, but with less wear and tear. A thick wooden dowel, almost a broomstick, pinned two big blocks of wood to the side of the workbench closest to Eli's legs. Threads ran the length of the dowel like a huge wooden screw, with a heavy crossbar at the far end. Together, the two blocks could have filled a shoebox. Eli realized what the contraption was just as Svetlana came back and dropped a hammer on the workbench. It had a long handle and the head of a small sledge, just a rough block of steel with a little bit of shaping on the edges. It looked like the kind of thing a blacksmith would pound an anvil with. Truss pushed himself up off the crate. He stepped forward and put himself on the opposite side of the workbench. His fingers danced on the planks like a man playing piano.
Now, let's be clear about something, Teague. I'm going to have my woman here break both of your knees.
Eli tried to kick off the bench to put some distance between himself and it, but Svetlana set a strong hand against his back and kept him hanging in place. He tried to swing his legs back to shove the woman away, knuckles wrapped against the lump on his head again.
It's going to happen,
Truss continued.
Three things you can take as absolute fact. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to die someday. And tonight, both your knees will be smashed into gravel. The only question, the one uncertainty you're facing, is how it's going to happen. And that's entirely up to you.
Eli looked down at the workbench.
Tell me what I want to know when I ask, and it'll be quick. Two blows with the hammer, bada-bing, bada-boom. You'll scream a lot, believe me. I've seen her do it many times before, but it'll be over in seconds. You'll pass out, and by the time you wake up, your body will have already reset your nerves to make it less painful. String me along, or refuse to answer, and I'll have her put your knees in the vise, one at a time.
Truss spread his fingers at the wooden blocks, a geriatric spokesmodel displaying the latest in torture equipment.
We'll take 3 hours to turn the crank for each one. 3 hours of pressure for each kneecap before they break and pop and get crushed down into shards and powder. 6 hours altogether. Maybe more. If, somehow, you're still not talking, I've seen this dozens of times and it's never failed to get me an answer, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're still not willing to talk after the knees, we'll move on to your elbows. Do you understand?
Yes, said Eli. Yeah, I understand.
And you believe me?
Eli stared into the old man's cold eyes.
Yeah, I do.
Then let's begin.
Truss moved back to his crate and sat down. It struck Eli that what he'd mistaken for a blanket was his own coat.
Has she found it yet?
What?
Your girlfriend? Mrs. Pritchard? Has she actually found it? Does she know where it is?
Look, said Eli. I don't know anything. I've barely been part of this for a week. Everybody in this town knows more than me. I still don't even know how to—
Shut him up.
Svetlana rapped Eli on the back of the head, right on the lump. Eli's head pulsed and his vision faded to gray for a moment.
Loyal to a fault,
muttered the old man.
Put his leg in it.
Svetlana grabbed Eli's foot and swung his legs forward. Eli tried to fight, tried to jerk his leg away, but the woman's grip was like iron. Eli's right knee bumped against the side of the vise once, twice, and then slipped between the two blocks. He threw his weight back and tried to pull free. Svetlana snapped a fist out and caught Eli in the gut. The backhand made his muscles spasm, and for a moment or three he gasped, drowning in the air. By the time he found his breath, she'd spun the crossbar and tightened the vise on Eli's kneecap. The pressure felt like kneeling on a hard floor. It came from each side, though. The vise had a firm grip, just enough to worry Eli that thrashing or pulling might wreck his knee faster than the vise could.
You were a good employee, Teague, as I recall. Brave enough to stand up to the old man, yes? I'll give you one more chance. The maul instead of the vise.
He leaned forward and stared over his square lenses at Eli.
Does she have it?
Eli set his jaw and gazed past Truss. He focused on the horseshoes. He could deal with the discomfort of the vise for an hour or so, long enough for Harry to find him. She couldn't be far. Truss shook his head and gestured at Svetlana. A gasp slipped off Eli's tongue before he could stop it. In 1 second, the mild discomfort jumped to actual pain. Senior year of college, he dabbled with Buddhism for a month to impress a redhead whose name he couldn't even remember. 2 hours of kneeling on the student center's threadbare carpet convinced him that nothing the poli-sci major could offer him would be worth putting his knees through that again. The pressure on each side of his knee was worse than 2 hours of kneeling on carpet-covered concrete.
That's half a turn,
said Truss.
At this width, there's about 22 threads between the sides of the vise. That means we can tighten it by the same amount 43 more times.
He glanced at Svetlana and the big woman wrenched the crossbar around again. Eli screamed. Light flashed behind his eyes as nails of pain squeezed into his knee. He thrashed against his ropes, but the vise had him. Flailing just made his leg twist around the unmoving knee. He sucked in 3 sharp breaths and heard a moan rattle behind his teeth. Truss left him like that for a minute. A full seconds ticking away minute. A few deep breaths helped Eli focus past the pain and get his heartbeat under control. The old man kicked his toes against the bench. The tremors echoed up through the vise.
You can feel free to scream more if you like, he said. No one will hear you. We're almost a mile outside of town, north side, away from where everyone parks. No one comes out this way.
Eli managed to bite back a moan. Truss studied his nails again.
Has she found it already?
Eli tried to clear his head. Harry'd mentioned how valuable information could be on the road. Theo had made a living selling clues and factoids. She'd mentioned how important having the advantage could be. He hoped she'd forgive him.
I don't know,
he said, shaking his head.
Maybe. There's a guy in New Orleans. We were going to double back and question him again, but she got worried when you showed up.
The old man's lined face twisted into a snarl.
What guy in New Orleans?
Hawkins. Frank Hawkins. He's a miner. A prospector, whatever you call him. We backtracked to him, and he acted like he wasn't inspired by the dream, but we think he was hiding something.
The dream,
spat Truss. He shot a look past Eli to Svetlana.
I don't care about the damned dream. Has she found the favor?
Eli blinked.
What?
The old man's snarl turned to a look of disgust.
I thought you were smarter than this.
He glanced at Svetlana.
Give him a full turn.